This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Noon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free at 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, of course, you know, with the Penn State's penalties being handed to them today, we're going to talk a lot about Penn State today and anything else you'd like to talk about. So just give us a call at either one of those numbers. And we're going to start out talking with our good friend Adam Ruff from the Spartan Sports Network and talk with him about the things that happened at Penn State. So let's bring in our good friend Adam Ruff. Adam, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, Earl, I'm doing great. How are you doing? You getting sick of this Penn State stuff yet?
Yeah, I've been trying. That's all I've been doing all day long.
Sometimes it's not always fun in the world of sports, is it?
No, it isn't. Sometimes you have to do what you got to do, and this is one of those days you just have to make the best of everything. But, you know, I was surprised by some of it, Adam. Get your thoughts on it. I was surprised that the monetary fine was so large. I thought they'd get fined, but I didn't think that much. And it's all appropriate. And then, of course, losing the scholarship is expected that 4 years ban. Boy, that's probably about right. But, boy, that monetary scholar losing all that money jumped out at me.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a huge fine. But, you know, that's apparently what the what they make every year. So yeah. It's pretty much a one-year fine. I think the worst thing is the loss of the scholarships and, of course, the ban from postseason play. And maybe even more so from playing for a Big Ten title if they got that chance. I mean, because then you're immediately losing the players. And it's, what, 4 years worth?
Yes.
But it's longer than that when you consider that the guys they recruit in that fourth year are going to be there for four or five more years. So essentially it's almost a decade-long thing they're dealing with because those classes will be there at Penn State for that long, and they'll be, you know, having classes of 9, 10, 11, you know, on senior day. And so that really decreases the leadership on a team. I mean, how many of those guys pan out, right, from the 20, a possible 25 you can recruit? Not a whole lot, you know, so...
Yeah, they can't miss anything now.
Exactly. You got to be right on everything, mm-hmm. and still it doesn't mean anything, essentially, because you're not playing for anything except for pride. And so immediately that knocks off how many more guys that wouldn't want to come to your school because you're not playing for anything. So, I mean, I think the postseason ban, obviously it's a huge hit in the wallet. I don't know what effect it has. I mean, is it going to have an effect on the other sports at Penn State? It's huge. I mean, you know, we talked about the death penalty, you know, so-called death penalty for a school not letting them play for a whole year. I'm sure as I'm sitting here, you know, they would rather have had that easily 1 or 2 years than what's happened.
Yes, because you can bounce back pretty easy from 1 or 2 years. But from this year with 10 scholarships a year, like you say, it's going to be 9 to 10 years that, you know, it's not just the 4 years they're losing the scholarship. They're being reduced to 65 scholarships a year. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be 8 to 10 years before they can even come close to coming back.
Yeah, and then, you know, poor Coach O'Brien, I mean, he gets there. He knew he was already going to have to deal with a lot of this stuff because it was kind of in the, everything was kind of coming out right after he was hired. But now, you know, I mean, can he go? He said he released a statement, you know, said he's going to be here for the long haul. But, I mean, really? The guy's got goals too, just like the kids that are allowed to leave now. But he can't. How can he accomplish those goals? You know, he's got a contract where he'd have to pay out so much money every year for every year on his contract if he wanted to leave. And I don't know how that seems even less fair than what the players got. At least the players can leave immediately and try to contribute. Even then, it's not really that fair to them either. But, I mean, neither is what happened to the victim. So, I mean, there's just a whole lot of – I mean, you could take a side for just about any of these things, and either side could be right. I mean, there's so many opinions, but, you know, what's done is done, And it's definitely unprecedented, like they hyped it to be yesterday.
Yes, that's for sure. And that 4-year bowl ban and the loss of scholarships, yeah, that certainly hurts the program for a long, long time, as we said. And I'm just concerned that people want their pound of flesh from Penn State, and it certainly looks like they're getting it. Hopefully they'll think it's enough. Some people probably won't think that they did enough. I don't know. I fall on that side. I think the NCAA and the Big Ten did enough, but I know apparently there'll be some people out there that it feels that they did not do enough.
Sure. I mean, I think they've done enough. In some cases, I think they did too much because, a lot of the people who were getting punished, had nothing to do with this. That's not their fault. But then at the same time, the thing for me that really gets me is the fact that everything that's happened, whether it's been this or whether it was yesterday them taking down the Joe Paterno statue, it's all been in response to a bloodlust. It hasn't been – no one's done something because they thought it was good to do. It's almost like people are punishing them or taking down the statue because that's what the people want.
Yes.
We're going back to the Middle Ages here. there's no rhyme or reason really to what's happening. It's like just jump on board the bandwagon, because that's what people want. And so a lot of it seems in vain to me. So it's just, and none of it, what does any of this really do for the victims? Nothing. So it's kind of empty because Joe Pye can't answer for any of this now.
Yes, and the one thing that I did hear from a couple of comments, can this at all, and they were right, that think that this university, they really haven't addressed the main problem of changing the culture of Penn State, changing the culture because, as you know, Joe Pye had so much power. He had more power than the president, than many of the board of trustees. And changing that culture at Penn State, that's what they have to address or get to. And I'm not sure if they've really done that, if that's going to help at all change the culture of power at Penn State.
Yeah, and I think that lends a little bit to what I was saying about Penn State hasn't been proactive in any of this in terms of taking down the Joe Paterno statue before anybody said anything or doing any of those sorts of things. They've all just kind of just sat there and wait for things to happen and then they respond to them as opposed to showing, proving that you're going to change things instead of just responding to what other people want. So, it's all kind of strange. It all falls in the corrupt, people believe that corrupt NCAA, it just all falls into that. You just never know. And look how Wisconsin gets out of this now.
Yes.
They don't have to deal with Ohio State or Penn State in terms of getting to the Big Ten title game. And that's just an easier path through a Rose Bowl. Or beyond. So,
Yeah, there are only four teams in that division competing for the title this year. Just think, Indiana's got a chance to get there or even get into a higher bowl game. That's for sure. You look at Indiana. That was unfortunately my dark horse team before all this came out. I was going to pick up Indiana just as a dark horse. I just figured they'd win maybe two or three games that they ordinarily win, and that would make them a pretty decent team. But who knows now with these two teams out? That certainly helps the Indianas and the Purdue's, those teams. So.
Yeah, and then there's Illinois.
Really,
who's Wisconsin competing with here?
Yeah.
No one.
Yep.
Obviously, they're still going to play Ohio State. They're still going to play Penn State. And, Penn State, who knows with all the fallout, players leaving, players staying, what it's going to be like. I can't imagine they'll be that good this year. And so it's like they really only have to compete with Ohio State in the win-loss column. But, then Ohio State's obviously not an obstacle to get to the Big Ten title game. So it's a strange dynamic of what's happening. And, Earl, I was thinking about this, with all this conference realignment and how, we've heard different people, talking about getting out of the NCAA, creating their own collegiate athletic association or whatever. Mm-hmm. Does this play into that? Does Penn State somehow say, hey, we want to get to these things? Do they kind of does this kind of help push that even further? I don't know. I haven't heard anybody talk about it, but it was one of the first things I thought about.
Yeah, I don't think it does. You know, I hadn't heard anything about that as well, but I don't think that does. You know, one thing I had heard, especially for the last couple of years, I heard people crying about Michigan State playing Penn State, you know, for that big trophy. And I think now Michigan State would probably love to play Penn State for the next 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Who doesn't want to? You know, last year Penn State started off with Alabama, and, you know, Alabama says, hey, this is a good game to play for our resume, our BCS resume. But now it's like, well, Penn State's reduced to, you know, a football championship series team, or yeah, at least we think they will. Maybe they'll have an uprising this year. Everyone will band together for a year, you know, to fight for Penn State or whatever. But I just can't imagine that happening. I mean, two guys have already decommitted from, you know, two of their better guys, and you just know more and more is going to come, and who knows who else is going to leave. So, yeah, I mean, there are just so many things that we don't know are going to happen. We will see Penn State's response, real response. We'll see Coach O'Brien's real response this week at the Big Ten meetings. I'm a little sick of hearing about Penn State, but that'll be interesting to hear what that next thing will be. But beyond that, boy, I'm ready for it to be over.
Yes, I'm wondering as well, though, just how many people who are there right now on scholarship, who will actually leave? You know, we know the guys who are coming in. Some of those guys may leave. But I just want to know how many are already accepted scholarships who are there on campus now. How many of those will leave? And, you know, that'll make the numbers even worse.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, do you think a guy going into senior year is going to leave? It's really hard to believe that those kind of guys are going to leave. I mean, what are they going to do? They know the lay of the land. You know, at these big conference schools, there's going to be guys to compete with. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy like Derek Moy, a decent receiver, what's he going to do if he leaves for a year? I mean, he's a good receiver at Penn State, but they're, you know, they run the football, yeah. You know? It's hard. I mean, it's kind of a catch-22 for these guys.
Yeah,
you know,
because
you want to
yeah.
go someplace where you can win, but are they going to be able to play like they do at Penn State? Now, a lot of these guys obviously are very good players, you know, offensive linemen, the defense, they're very good players, but some of the specialty players at Penn State, with the exception of maybe Silas Redd, the tailback, I mean, those, you know, the rest of them are kind of lost in there. I mean, and what do the guys who are second string do?
Yeah,
you know, they're not going to go someplace else and go, I'm going to be the starter here, because they weren't necessarily at Penn State. So it's, you know, it's not a simple thing by any stretch of the imagination. So that's why I think we'll see a lot of guys, I would think, that are already there, at least as juniors or seniors, maybe stick around and play for the pride of why they went there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, because I'm like you with that. But, you know, those guys, they could leave because they've got to learn a whole new system now. I mean, you've got a new coach, new system, and they're going to learn everything, new running game, new running scheme, new passing game. So they're going to have to learn everything new. So I would think that they probably won't be too hesitant to leave, since they'll have to learn everything new. It's not going to be the same or similar. So that's going to be a big challenge for them. But, you know, that's the challenge they face if they do decide to stay.
Well, I mean, if they stay, they're kind of, you know, they've obviously already been integrated into a new system with Bill O'Brien. But that's still relatively new, too. So, I mean, it's just there's so much going on. I mean, it's yeah, I'm sure we'll see all these different scenarios play out over the next couple days and then weeks to see what really happens, because there's just so much to think about that people haven't even thought about yet. I mean, there's just so many complications to all of it. It's hard to fathom. I mean, you know, think about if these guys do transfer. Then they got to go compete with guys who are already at a school and have been there and been starters. I mean, you know, and what if they replace those guys? I mean, to me, it's like, well, is that really fair either? I mean, imagine if, you know, Silas Redd came to Michigan State, you know, and suddenly he's taking, you know, Nick Hill's snaps or, you know, whatever. I mean, it's really muddying things up. So it's just there's so many things out there we haven't thought about. It's a disaster on the football front, too.
Yeah, we'll just have to stay back and just keep an eye on it. Hey, Adam, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and it's good to talk with you about this, the things that are going on at Penn State. And we'll talk about that and more stuff later on. I know you'll be at the Big Ten meeting, so we'll talk with you probably next week to just get your idea on what's going on at the Big Ten meetings.
Sounds good, Earl. Look forward to it anytime. You know that.
Okay, thank you, Adam. I'll talk to you later, buddy. Okay, bye-bye. And that's Adam Ruff from the Big Ten Network, talking with him on what's going on at Penn State. The time is 21 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
When news breaks, you want to hear the story, then you want to talk about it. I'm Neil Conan. Talk of the Nation provides you with the latest news and analysis and a chance to share your experiences. For intelligent discussion about the day's happenings, join us on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Our high 97 today, partly sunny and windy with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. A chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight and partly cloudy with a low of 70. Tuesday and Wednesday, partly sunny with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. We'll have highs in the 80s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527. Toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to continue our discussion of Penn State with Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News and talk more about Penn State and everything that was handed down. Of course, hopefully you've known they've been given a $60 million fine. They'll have to pay that off in the next 4 years. They've lost 60 scholarships or at least 10 scholarships a year for the next 4 years. That scholarship limit will be reduced to 65 scholarships that they can have on campus or under registry at any one time. So that'll mean maintain 65 scholarships. So a lot going on at Penn State. And let's bring in Matt Charbonneau and hear from Matt what's going on. Hey, Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Earl. How are you doing, man?
Okay. As you know, we've had a lot to talk. We've got the Big Ten and, of course, the NCAA going. What did you think about the Big Ten's penalties? I mean, they just censured. They didn't tack it on as much. But you know, what did you think about basically what the Big Ten did?
Well, I guess I'm not necessarily surprised. You know, when you consider what the NCAA decided. I mean, how much more was the Big Ten really going to do? I mean,
yeah.
You know, essentially they just took the, you know, what they're estimating their bowl revenue would be anyway. You know, roughly $13 million now, and have. You know, I mean, they call it, you know, they'll call it fine, but it's basically money Penn State's just not going to see now, and that's going to get donated to whatever fund might be established at this point. So, you know, it wasn't a whole lot more. It was basically them saying the NCAA got it right, and we're going to add a little bit on it here. So, you know, beyond throwing them out of the conference, I'm not sure how much more they were really going to be able to do at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they said they didn't. When I was listening to the Big Ten through their portion, they said they really didn't even consider throwing them out of the conference. So, you know, it looks like Penn State is definitely going to be in the conference for the long haul. It's certainly going to change the dynamics, you know, with them and of course being for the next 4 years, and of course with Ohio State not being eligible for the next year. So it's going to be interesting changing the dynamics of that division.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, I hate to, you know, make it seem insignificant, but at this point, Wisconsin is, you know, who else is going to, you know, beat them out for that division championship at this point? I mean, you know, they could lose a few games. They're going to still pretty much walk to the Big Ten title game. So that absolutely changes the dynamic over there. I mean, Ohio State will be done with theirs after this year, assuming nothing else happens. But, yeah, it changes a lot. And they asked Jim Delaney today if they talked about thinking about realigning or anything like that. And at this point, they haven't decided on that, and they haven't really discussed it. So I don't see anything changing with that really right now. But, yeah, I mean, it certainly changes the way teams are going to approach. I mean, you're looking at Wisconsin, really. I mean, Purdue, you know, Illinois, not so much really in the mix at this point. So it's kind of essentially just a pure competitive standpoint handing it to Wisconsin at this point. Not that they couldn't have won it anyway, but you know, it certainly changes things. Whoever scheduled Penn State over the next few years is. It's certainly going to be a different team than they'd hoped. Michigan and Michigan State both didn't have them on the schedule this year. That's the way the conference scheduling goes. So whoever gets them in the next few years, I think, is going to have quite a bit different game than they thought initially going in.
Yes. Matt, we had one caller who called in and said Penn State, what happened with Penn State was way too much. Do you think they had too much penalty, or was that good enough at what the NCAA did?
I certainly don't think they had too much. No, and I understand the people too that are saying some of the people getting punished, especially players there now, people there now, it's not really fair. And I understand that completely, because if you look at it, any NCAA violation and punishment typically goes the same way. I mean, it's hard to put, for instance, USC in that whole mess. How are they going to punish Reggie Bush? I mean, he's already 5 years into the NFL. So, unfortunately, that's kind of the way it goes sometimes. I think that the bigger issue here is the fact that it is really hurting the program as a whole, and I think that was probably what they're going for. I mean, I don't think they want to get rid of the program, but they certainly need to deal with some punishment. And I don't think it was too extreme. I was surprised that it was $60 million, so that's not, they're paying off over 4 or 5 years, and they've got a pretty hefty endowment there, so I don't think that's a huge deterrent. I think the bowl ban, the postseason ban, is a huge thing. The vacated wins, that doesn't mean that much to me either. I mean, a guy's name is different in the standings. I don't think that's as big of a deal. So I certainly don't think they went too far. And in some ways, it might even be worse than if they just banned from playing for a year or two. So it's something that, I talked to some recruiting people today, too, that this isn't just a 4 or 5 year thing. You're looking at, 8, 9, 10 years before this program is really going to have a chance to kind of get back on solid footing, just in a recruiting base and being able to convince players this is a program you want to come to. So, I think it's going to have a heck of a long effect, of certainly beyond the 4 or 5 years that are initially kind of laid out here today.
Oh, yes, I would agree with that for sure. It certainly will. What do you think as well, when you look at how Penn State, how it's been handled thus far, and, Penn State is certainly going to be in for a lot more. I mean, the 4 or 5 year thing, that's going to hurt them a lot. And, it might hurt them, like you say, for 8 to 9 to 10 years. It's probably going to be really that long before they can recover and come back. As you know, I heard a lot, and I think you heard the same thing. I heard a lot of people were initially talking about Penn State or Michigan State. They used to play that Penn State game every year, and now, of course, they got rid of that. I bet the Spartans would probably like to play Penn State right now.
They probably wouldn't mind. For a while, it's not going to be anything like the Penn State we've been used to for years, and that's, I mean, it's too bad, but let's be honest, this is something that program really brought on itself, so, I have a hard time feeling bad for the program, and yeah. I do feel bad for some of the kids stuck there, especially guys that are, like, junior, seniors, and, there's really no other option for them. These kids are going to be allowed to transfer at this point without sitting out, but let's be honest, at this late in the season, it's not going to help anybody for this year.
Right.
And like I said, certainly those guys that are a year or two from graduation, it's not necessarily helping them either. So it's kind of a bummer for them. You kind of feel bad for those guys. And everyone in position now is saying the right things. And from all reports are kind of, moving in the right direction with this and wanting to, improve from it and get past it. But, it's certainly going to – I mean, the lasting effect is going to be pretty hefty, and I just hope that those kids that are there now, it eventually works out for the best. If they end up going somewhere else, I hope it works out for them, and you wish the guys that are kind of stuck there in their last year or so, you wish better for them, but unfortunately that's kind of the way it goes in the NCAA. It's hard to punish people who actually did it when they've moved on, and certainly you can't punish Joe Paterno at this point, so it's kind of a tough spot, but they certainly had to do something.
Yes, they did. And, it seems like the guys that are left that are there, they've got that mentality. They're going to circle the wagons and just try to win every game they can. I mean, that's about the only thing they can do is just try as hard as they can and try to win as many games as they can.
Well, yeah, you're certainly right about the guys that are there. The question is how many guys are going to stay there. I've already been talking to people about not so much guys that are on the roster now, but, guys that have committed already. I mean, you're going to, as one guy put it to me, it's, the Sharks were in the water before, now they're going to be coming hard. And, every kid that's committed there now is going to be open season on these guys. So It's going to be interesting to see who stays committed, which guys have been there maybe their freshman year or heading into their freshman year, how many of those guys stick around. It's got to be a tough choice for some of these kids. They're looking at this point of never having a chance to play in a bowl game, so you can certainly understand them wanting to make a change in that choice. So, yeah, obviously the guys that are there are going to be sticking around are certainly going to circle the wagons, but I just think it's going to be tough for them to keep too many guys there that, you know, have a lot of their career ahead of them.
Yes, that is going to be tough, Matt, because when we look at the Penn State and the guys that are there, and, you know, they've got to obviously try to win as many games as they can. That'll be what they'll try to do. But it's going to be such a big challenge for them. And, you know, I'm not sure if they'll be able to do that, but that's what they'll have. They'll just have to get out there and try as hard as they can. And even though, like you say, that, you know, it's not their fault what's going on. They've just got to take what's been handed their way. And, you know, with all those guys and that can stay at Penn State and can try to help the program. You know, the thing is, Penn State can't make any mistakes. I mean, when they get a kid to commit, and if they want to get, they just can't make too many mistakes. You know, they've got such a short leash, on scholarships and everything. They can't afford to make mistakes on the guys that they select.
Yeah, and that's going to be hard too when you're considering the sanctions they're going to be looking at. So, you know, you're quickly going from a program that would typically, you know, be recruiting 4 or 5-star guys predominantly. That's going to change fast. I mean, you're right, they can't make a mistake, but at the same time, they're probably going to have to take some chances on some guys that maybe a lot of other programs would see as borderline, whether they're, you know, good enough to play at that level. They're going to have to take some chances on guys. And, you know, like Mark D'Antonio did when he first arrived at Michigan State, they're going to rely heavily, very heavily on their, you know, just kind of their talent evaluation, what they see in a guy, and hope that they're seeing something that other teams aren't, because that's the position they're going to be in. Those 4 or 5-star guys, you know, are almost universally going to be avoiding Penn State unless, you know, they're the kid that grew up, you know, Penn State fan their whole life and lived a mile from campus or something like that. You know, the guys they're used to going after, that pool of talent is going to quickly change for them. So it's going to be hard for them. They're going to have to take some chances, and yeah, they're not going to be able to swing and miss on too many of them.
Yes, so we'll be keeping an eye on that the next few years for Penn State, and you know, it's going to, a lot of the Big Tens are going to be Big Ten teams are going to be licking their chops, because they almost see that if they don't have an automatic victory, it's probably pretty close to having a victory without really having to show up and do a very good job. You just have to show up. That's about it, and you about have a victory in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see this year. I might not be as big of an effect this year. They might not lose as many, just based on the timing.
Yeah.
But I think you're absolutely right. I mean, certainly in the short term, in the next few years, they're going to find themselves in that spot where it's just going to be so hard to be able to field a competitive team when you're under those restrictions. That's not to say they won't get good players and they won't have a few decent teams, but they won't have the depth of other teams. We saw a lot of those issues before around here, that if you don't have depth, it's only going to take you so far. So it's going to be hard for it not to catch up to them here over the next few years. And then we're back into that long-term kind of lingering effect of how long does it take them to get back to that level. So it's certainly going to be an issue for a while, and it could take a lot longer than some of us even think.
And we're talking with Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So, Matt, I wasn't really surprised. I was a little surprised at that monetary. I mean, $60 million for the 4 years. Yes, that's 1 year basically of what the football team would bring in. But do you think it's going to do anything to change the culture? I mean, that's one thing they talked about, and they're not sure, and I'm not sure either. How will this impact the culture of Penn State? How do you think if it changes the culture of Penn State at all?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if we can necessarily predict that. I certainly don't think the monetary thing is really going to affect that at all. I don't think that's going to be necessarily a huge issue for them. Does this whole thing change the culture? I don't know. I mean, you can only hope it does. I mean, because let's be honest, we've already talked about it. You're going to be looking at a program that goes from you know, one of the premier programs in the country to on the field is going to be mediocre at best, most likely. So does that shake people awake that, you know, still believe that nothing really bad has happened? I mean, if you look at some of the interviews of reaction around campus, it's, you would think right now the culture hasn't changed a whole heck of a lot. Now, you know, that's just in the fan base. We'll have to see. The real question is that going to change the culture at top and with the administrators and certainly within the program? So I certainly think it's a necessary step in that direction. I would find it hard to believe that this isn't, you know, a big enough wake-up call to most people around there that something certainly has to change. So, you know, only time's really going to tell on that. I would be surprised if it doesn't. If they come out of this with the same old approach to everything, then that's a heck of a lot bigger issue than I ever expected, and it'll be kind of disappointing. So I certainly hope they're headed in that direction anyway.
Yes, because as we know, they certainly need to be headed in that direction, and that's one thing we'll just have to keep our eye on. I'm just been thinking, when you constantly look at Penn State, and you know they took all that we are Penn State was their motto. I'm not sure that we can overall change the whole culture of Penn State. I mean, yes, that's what's been talked about ever since the Jerry Sandusky thing broke, but I'm not sure if you can change the culture in such a short period of time. I think it may take years. If it changes it, like you say, at all, it's going to take years to change the culture, I believe.
Yeah, you're probably right. And there's, you know, I think there's a difference between, you know, kind of turning a blind eye to stuff like this for the sake of a football program and being and having pride in your university. I'm fine with that. I understand people being proud of their school, and I got to bet if you ask most of those people that are chanting "We are Penn State," probably most of them are a little bit embarrassed, ashamed. I'm not sure what word to use, but I can't bet any of them are real happy with, you know, the kind of the tarnished image their university now has. So, you know, I can see them being proud. I see them, you know, trying to be resilient and fighting back, but if that's indicative of I guess, you know, rejecting any of these punishments or the facts that came out of the report, that'd be a shame. I certainly hope that's not the case, because, you know, then that'd be a pretty small part of the world that's kind of just, you know, turning their head to the facts and kind of forgetting about all the victims that you know, came from this. And I think that would be a giant shame, and hopefully those people understand that and they can get past it just being about winning football games and see that it's a lot bigger than that.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see what they say, and especially what O'Brien has to say at the Big Ten meetings coming up on Thursday and Friday. I'm sort of interested just to hear what the Penn State, because we haven't heard from the Penn State people, so, you know, I assume we may hear something before then, but I'm interested to hear what they say about everything.
Yeah, I know O'Brien issued a statement earlier, was fairly generic, but yeah, you're right. I mean, let's be honest, Thursday, Friday, it's going to be Penn State overload, I'm sure, for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, the interesting thing for us is going to be to hear from coaches and from around the conference. You know, we haven't heard much out of Michigan State at all, in fact, over this. And, I can understand them not wanting to get in a whole big mix about another school, but you certainly want to, you know, get their impressions of what's going on over there. So we'll certainly, at the worst, get that by the end of the week. So I don't think there's any doubt that Penn State's going to dominate a lot of the conversation here over the next few days.
That's for sure. Hey, Matt, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always a pleasure being with you, my friend, and thank you for talking about Penn State. I know we're going to hear a lot about it this week, and more so about what's going on at Penn State or not going on, but we'll hear more, and I know you're going to head to the Big Ten meetings coming up. So, hey, thanks. Thanks, you, Matt, and I will be talking with you in the very near future.
You got it, Earl. Anytime.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Listen to Sports Talk 870 after we take this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
As Olympic fever builds ahead of the London Games, we want to know, who is your hometown Olympian? And Tuesday, it's your chance to talk with Elton John about his book, Love is the Cure, and the global fight against HIV and AIDS. I'm Jennifer Ludden. Neil Conan returns with all that and more in the week ahead on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
A chance of rain and thunderstorms today, otherwise windy and partly sunny with a high of 97. Tonight, a low of 70 and partly cloudy with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Tuesday and Wednesday will be partly sunny with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs each day in the 80s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is fortsportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Aaron, what do you think about all the Penn State? Do you think it was sufficient, that it was fair what happened to Penn State?
Well, you know, I don't think it's a question of whether or not it's fair, because I think we all understand it's not fair. It's not fair to the people that had no involvement with it at all. But you know what? That's how life goes. There's no other way to punish those, punish the program, because that's what it was. It was all about the football program. They decided to put football, you know, above, you know, kids, basically, you know. You know, we had that caller earlier that said it was way too much, and I've read numerous people online that it says, well, you know, these people that are currently there had no involvement with it. Well, I understand that. I get that part of it, but the reality is there's no, you know, if you just punish those people that were involved with it, which most of them have already been or will, you know, and they're in the process of being punished, that really doesn't do anything to say that the football program, which is what it was, you have to punish that somehow. Whether I think it was too much or too little, frankly, I think it's fine. Actually, I think this is worse than the so-called death penalty, which I think they said at some point down the line that it was actually going to be worse than that, which, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, kind of repeat everything we've talked about already, but I would agree that, you know, it's going to take 8 to 10 years for all this to come back, you know, to normal. So, frankly, Penn State really isn't going to be anything of a football program, you know, with numerous years. So, does it stink that, you know, the people, players that are currently there, the loss of money, the fact that they can't, you know, do anything for 4 years as far as, you know, basically play for pride, that scholarship money hurts other programs besides just the football program. Yeah, does it hurt? Sure. Does it suck that, you know, the people that are there, that those people have to suffer because of something that happened in the past? Sure. Yes, it does. Unfortunately, that's how life goes. You know, sometimes you have to adapt to things that you don't expect. So I feel bad for the people that are currently there that weren't involved, but that's just how life is, and they're going to have to learn to adapt. And unfortunately, I think the NCAA is going to get some flack for what they did, but they're also going to get some recognition for stepping up and doing something very big.
Well, as you know, you heard me talking about changing the culture. Do you think this is going to help really change the culture, change that mindset of Penn State, you know, their cries, we are Penn State, or just change the culture of that program? And it does seem that culture needs to be changed in some way.
Yeah, the culture does need to be changed. Whether or not this actually changes the culture, that's difficult to tell. I mean, I guess we're going to have to wait and see how the student body reacts in the coming years, you know, how the university reacts overall. As we are all well aware, the statue was taken down. So maybe, you know, that kind of gets rid of that sort of reminder. That's kind of the idea there. You know, they've erased a lot of those wins, however, total 100 wins or whatever it was, you know, off the record books. But, you know, I honestly, it's going to take years and years for the culture to change, if it does at all.
Okay. Hey, give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. A lot of other things were going on besides Penn State. I did want to bring up, because Aaron is a big golfer, wanted to bring up the British Open with Aaron, with a great comeback win by Ernie Els to win the British Open, or the Open, you know, a tremendous win. Even though he had, you know, just hit that good shot on the 17th and 18th hole, and he made the birdie putt there, and he put the pressure on Adam Scott, and he couldn't answer the bell. That's for sure. Right now, let's go to the phones. We've got Apachu on the line. Apachu, how you doing?
All right, Earl. I just tuned this. I may repeat a question, so I apologize if I do. Mm-hmm. That my question is, Okay, so they said they're wiping out all those games from Penn State. What exactly does that mean? And for example, the games that somebody lost or won against them, would that be held against them? Would that be eliminated from their record? A rusher, for example, if he sets a record because of the yardage he got in the Penn State game, would those yards be taken away from him? What would happen in that case?
Yeah, because it goes back. They're going back to 1998 to when the cover-ups were started. And so, yes. So, yeah, they would lose all records and everything. I'm pretty sure they would be taken from the record books. I'll have to look at that. As far as I know, that none of those records will hold up, whatever records were set in those games.
Okay, let's say, I'm a Michigan man. What if Denard, let's say he got 100, 150 yards rushing, and he broke some national record and so forth, and those 150 yards came from Penn State. Would those yards be taken away from him? Are those off the books? How does that work?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you, how they'll work. I'm not sure if they would be off the books. I think they would, from what I remember from the when I look at games that have been taken away in the past. You have nothing but zeros are there, and they're taking those wins or losses are taken from the books. So I'm not sure for sure, but I think they would lose them.
I heard a talk show this morning, and they were saying the Ohio State game, the Penn State game, that game officially doesn't exist. I thought that was rather odd, So, but anyway, thanks, man. I hope you did some research on that and let us know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. And Dennis, how you doing?
Good, Earl. How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I think to answer Pachu's question, I think the individual records still exist.
Okay.
The passing yards, rushing yards, whatever it was for that game. I think they still stay in the books.
Okay.
But the wins and losses, I think, is what they focus on. And, yeah, it's true, the 2010 Ohio State-Penn State game, neither team gets credit for a win.
Right.
Earl, you were asking if this changes the culture.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it. I don't think that the culture really needed to be changed, because I don't think that, 99.999% of the people involved with Penn State, fans, players, had any knowledge that any laws were being broken, much less NCAA rule violations. I think they really thought they had a clean, above-board program. I know I did. I know most people I talked to thought Penn State was clean as a whistle.
Yeah.
So I think that their culture needs to be changed. I just think that one guy who had too much power to became their culture.
Yeah, well, we definitely believe that, Joe Pye just got too much power. I mean, he was basically given that power, as we said earlier when we talked, he just had too much power, and they let him do what he wanted to do. And, of course, he did try to cover up everything that had been going on over the years, and that's unfortunate. But, yes, he was given a whole lot of power, which he probably shouldn't have been given.
Felt more proud than anybody on any campus anywhere in the country.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Position. And this is devastating, Earl. The scholarship reductions, the bowl bans, this program will be 1AA at best for the next 8-9 years. The wins that they took from the books, I think that really hurt and it hit at the heart of this thing, because I think that's what made Paterno not turn in Sandusky in the first place in 98, was his concern with the program's prestigious appearance and his outlook and his ambition to get that record. And I think that's what kept him around so long. I think that was the entire motivation. When they took that off, as I was listening to the press conference, I was like, wow, my jaw hit the floor. that really, I think, way beyond the money. I think the money's already covered by alumni donations. But, the scholarship reductions, the bowl bans, and then they took the wins off the icing cake. I mean, this program just got hit with a neutron bomb, Earl. I think this is worse than the death penalty. Let me know what you think about it.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. Thanks, Dennis. Yeah, I think it definitely was worse than the death penalty. I mean, yes, they won't recover from this for 8 to 9 to 10 years, if that's soon. Yes, because they were really hammered. A lot of scholarships, they're going to only going to have 65 scholarships, 65 on credit for the next 4 years. That's going to hurt right there. They're going to lose those 10 scholarships at least per year. It's no doubt that Penn State has been hit very hard, and they're going to have a lot of adjustments to do, and O'Brien is going to have a lot of adjustments to do. I wonder if he's going to stay. He says he is. He says he isn't going to leave. I don't know if he's going to have one foot out the door or not. He might be looking to get out because he said he was going to stay for the long haul. I don't. That really puts that into a very long haul. So if you or I were the coach, I'd be I'd be looking for a way out of there. I don't think I'd be able to stay for the long haul. You know, as he's been saying, he's going to stay for the long haul. I know we're going to have to wait and see, but that's certainly definitely going to be a big problem for him and O'Brien and how and how all the kids that. You know, I'm wondering, as I said, I'm wondering how many kids are going to leave that are already in the program. You know, we know that the recruiting the kids in the future, that's going to be very hard. I mean, they're really going to be devastated. So that's going to be very hard. But how many of the kids in the program now, will any of them leave or will they just try and stay and hang in there for these next couple of years? They might not be too bad for the next year or two if nobody leaves. But if someone leaves, say this year, some of the current guys who are on scholarship leave, boy, that'll really create even a bigger problem. Well, let's go to the phones again and talk to Mr. Tate down in Atlanta. How you doing, Mr. Tate?
I'm blessed. How about yourself, Mr. Robinson?
Okay.
Well, first of all, I want to say go Tigers. I know you're going to, on the subject of Penn State right now, I just wanted to say first and foremost, starting off, go Detroit Tigers. And but as far as the situation here at Penn State, just a couple things here that I was looking at. First of all, we shouldn't have to hold this conversation. It's a shame to be a diehard Big Ten fan right now in the way that, you know, it feels. And I'm definitely a little bit shook up about the situation. And I hate that we have to even have this conversation. But the reality is what it is. I don't really understand when it comes to being fair or not. I mean, the vacated wins, I don't really understand exactly what that's going to do. I don't really understand the purpose of that punishment. But nevertheless, as far as whether it's fair to, you know, whether it be the coaches or the people, you know, who just arrived on campus or the people who've been there and had nothing to do with this. But like I said, life goes on. It is what it is. That's a part of life. And, you know, it's maybe not as the same severe situation, but Urban Meyer kind of going through the same type of thing, at least when you're talking the infractions and the suspensions and the vacated wins and so on and so forth, what have you. But I just, the only thing that I don't think is fair about this is that I don't think that certain decisions should have been made, which is the statue being taken down and things of that nature, because I don't feel we have all the facts gathered yet from this matter. So with that being said, there's certain things that I don't feel like should have been done yet. But because the children are involved, which is a very serious matter, I also understand that action must definitely be taken. The $60 million, I don't really know so much about that. I don't know where they get the money portion as far as how much that they will be fined as a university, as an organization, as a program. So that I don't want to speak on too much, but one of my biggest questions was the room for the rosters for people who decide to leave Penn State and go to other schools, and if they do get the right, in which I would assume that they would be able to play right away at a different university. If you're talking, we're looking at Penn State being a fairly elite, you know, status of a university, of a football program anyway. So those guys who have earned scholarships to play for those, especially some of their very best players, they have to go other places, and they should get the same treatment as far as, you know, where they decide to transfer to and be able to get that playing time at another elite school. I'm going to go ahead and leave you with this last factor here, and then I'll listen to you, and I appreciate you taking my call. But I understand that a lot of the wins, I think 111 total, dating all the way back to 1998,
yes,
have been vacated from the record books, the wins anyways. Believe it or not, Mr. Robinson, the very last game played that has not been vacated, the very last game was 1997. The starting quarterback was Todd McCary, the witness of all of this happening. Thank you so much, Mr. Robinson. I appreciate you having me on, and I'll listen.
Okay, thank you. Well, you know, they went back to 1998 because that's when the cover-up started with Sandusky, so they took. That's why they took 98, and they just counted all the wins from 1998 till now, because that's when Penn State started the cover-up for their all the ills of Sandusky, and so that's why they went back to 98, and yes, they've. you know, they you know, a very bad mistake on their part. And, you know, with, if players transfer, you know, that is their right to transfer, and they won't be held, they won't have any juice in any other school. If they get there, they'll just have to try to win a job just like anybody else who comes there, even though they've been there for 2 or 3 years. I'm guessing that most of the players, at least the juniors and seniors, will probably stay there since they're close to graduation and getting their degree and moving on. So I expect they will stay there for sure, most of them. I mean, they could leave if they really want to try to win in that last year or two, but I would guess they'll most probably stay there since they've been there this long. That's going to be a tough choice for them. Hey, Aaron, as I mentioned about you, we got to mention, like Mr. Tate said, the Tigers are now in first place. I guess we won't hear much from all the Jim Leland haters out there now, since they're in first place. And, have to congratulate Ernie Els for his big win in the Open Tournament.
Yeah, as far as the Tigers are concerned, a sweep this weekend, that's pretty good. Yeah, get some game and a half above Chicago. So, the way that they've been pitching, the way they've been hitting, I mean, they're looking good. This is kind of, I wouldn't say this is exactly where most people expected them to, but you know what? We'll take it. They're finally, on the top of their division, game and a half above. If they can stay like this, they're still going to have a few hiccups here and there, but if they can stay this good, they should win this division, no problem. So good for them. As far as Ernie Els, man, feel bad for Adam Scott.
Yes.
I watched that thing and he just fell apart. And, Ernie Els, he did what he needed to do, especially in those conditions. The wind was just, one hole could be 10 miles an hour. Next hole was 30, just depended on where you were on the course. But, yeah, congratulations to him. His second so-called Open, British Open, however you want to call it. I feel bad for Adam Scott. Young guy, great golfer. So I expect him to maybe compete for another major here or there coming soon. But Tiger Woods finished third as well, tied for third with Snedeker. So I expect Woods to learn from this and continue to get better. I forget how many majors are left this year. I think either two.
Just one,
yeah.
Yes.
I expect him to compete in that one as well. So, but congratulations to Ernie Els for sure.
Yes, congratulations to him. And we'll see what more he does. I mean, Tiger has faded on the final day in these last two majors. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see how Tiger responds. And does he come back? I mean, he looks like he hurt his knee there when he was in that bunker. When he came out of that one bunker, he just was limping a little bit. So we'll have to wait and see. And, it's hard to say. A lot of guys, they don't like to tell you about injuries or if they are still injured. So we probably won't ever know if he's really hurt or how bad he is hurt, if he is hurt at all. That's for sure. Hey, about time. We've talked a lot of things today, talked mostly about Penn State and their problems. And we're going to hear more in the next few days on Penn State. That's for sure. I'm just not sure what if anything they'll do or if they can do anything. So it'll just be interesting to hear from the Penn State people. That's what I want to hear from them and hear what they say about what's happened to them. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So come back and join us tomorrow, and we'll hear from you. And if you want to talk more Penn State, we'll continue our Penn State discussion. If you want to talk other things in sports, whether you want to talk golf or baseball or either the start of a training camps, you can call us and talk about that as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. We'll hear from you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.